welcome along to the New Music Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. Episode number 26. I'm delighted to welcome back Tim Brooks.
Hello.
I say welcome back. Obviously, it's your first podcast, but you have been in session before.
Yes, I have. And it's light outside this time, which is wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. I know. Yeah,
very, it was a bit contrasting before.
Depths of winter, I think it was, before when you came in last time. So we've got four songs we're going to talk about. Brand new songs of yours. And then just a few bits about you, basically, as a musician and, you know, all that kind of stuff. As regular listeners will know how we structure the podcast by now. So let's get into the first track. So, Ivory, tell me about this one.
Yes. So this is a track that's going to be on a record that I've got coming out at the end of the year, actually. And it might be the next single. I'm not sure. Sort of unconfirmed at the moment.
Okay.
This is a song where I did quite a lot of acoustic gigs. I still do quite a lot of acoustic gigs. And I was playing one in the Hard Rock Cafe around Hyde Park Corner. I don't know if you know that area of London, sort of.
I do, yeah.
Right by Hyde Park.
Yep.
And I think I turned up about an hour early or something horrendously early like that. And it was sort of mid-November and I was just sort of wandering around that kind of area with the guitar on the back. And it was strange. It was a kind of moment where I had a lot of thoughts going through my head. And I think at that point I was still, it was just starting to get to the stage where I was starting to record and starting to take music a bit more seriously.
Okay.
And a few other things were going on with my life. And it was almost like that moment of having absolutely nothing to do for an hour in the sort of very, very chilly streets of London. I kind of had a bit of a moment of clarity in terms of lyrics. And I think the lyrics behind this song, if you took them all as one, I don't want to say they don't make a great deal of sense, but it's almost a bit of a soup in terms of it's all a kind of amalgamation of things that were going through my head at that one moment.
Okay.
So I guess it's a song that is a crossroads, so to speak. But as I said, it's going to be on the new records. It is a full band record.
I'm going to
be performing this acoustically.
When's the new album coming out?
It's hopefully, and I always say this ambitiously because I always say it will come out at this point, and then there's always something that happens and it comes out at this point. The idea is hopefully around October, November time. I've been playing with a full band now, which is actually a development since the last time
came
on
here. It was just you.
Yeah, we played our second show on Saturday, which went down really, really well. Ivory was one of the tracks we played, actually, which has a big solo in it where all the band pause and I have to hit one note and it's absolutely terrifying.
pressure, why have you done that?
Well, it's less pressure acoustically. There's some very high notes in there. But it's one I've played a few times acoustically as well. It's quite a nice simple chord progression as well. So I think it transitions fairly well to acoustic as
nice.
Well.
Nice, okay. And so obviously you being in a big band sort of situation now, but it's just you, right? As in the songwriting and everything else, is it come from you?
Yes.
Or you
don't this is a conversation I have the band on Saturday, actually. This song exclusively and all of the songs that are being played today are all my own. And when we play particularly this song and the second song I'm going to play, they are full band recorded. But I've sort of given the band the full recording and we've worked it out from there, really. There are other tracks where we've collaborated and the bassist has come up with a bass line and we've worked around that. The drummer's come up with a drum beat and sort of, and it's been very much a three-piece process. But certainly this one was my own. All my own.
All
doing,
your own.
Indeed.
All your own. Inspired by an hour of
And nothingness around central London on a chilly night, yes.
Fantastic. All right, well, let's give this first one a listen then. So this is Ivory.
There's a castle on the hill, but it's glass on the inside. So when you sit and watch the sunset, oh, there ain't no place to hide. And I guess we're all as guilty as the lies that we all tell. But it's all the more deceitful ourselves. Islands hide these troubled waters, lay me down across the sands. This bridge is built on borders, who I burrowed through by hand. And I'm a sucker for solutions, but no stickler for a plan. Come box up my ambitions as my horizons they expand. So let it be my go brick by brick, and to pull apart rusty nails and anything that sticks. and I'll scribble down on paper, 'cause I got the guts to speak. And I'll point you to the future and a man that isn't me, 'cause I believe. 'Cause I was stretched right up to the sky, and you'll find apart. And I need a book of sonnets, whoa, and a pocket full of rhymes. I guess she yearned for something stable, and I just want what I got. Sonny, hold my hand, won't hold us back, and we'll cry about it later, but in the morning just for them, because
then, ladies and gents. So we're back in. Second track by Tim Brooks is coming up shortly, which is going to be Quicksilver. I must apologise as well about the traffic noise. We've got the window open right now because it's a million degrees in the studio, and it was either traffic noise or fan, and so I've chosen traffic noise as the lesser of the two. So sorry, guys, it's particularly noisy outside at the moment. So yeah, before we get into the second track, Quicksilver, just a few bits about you, Tim. Let's get into this. So first, these are the sort of quick hit questions, which are probing questions ever. First bit of music that you bought or was bought for you?
You say it's not a probing question. I think I'd say 90% of people who answer that say something horrendous and embarrassing.
I'm waiting for the horrendous
ones.
Yeah,
it's not too horrendous. I know.
It was Chili Peppers or it's Bowie.
I'm not that cool, unfortunately. Did I buy it or did I have it bought for me? It was on cassette, which is a good indication of how long ago it was. I think it was for my birthday as well. It was a cassette of one of those Now CDs, you know, like CDs, cassettes. I can't remember what number it was. It was under 40, which is a good indication of how long ago it was, because I think they surpassed 100 a very long time ago.
Yeah. Do you know what, actually? I totally forgot about this. I had about the same sort of thing. Mine was like Now 33, something like that.
I know the first track was... Do you know the first track's quite cool? The first track was U2, I think.
All right.
It was a track by U2 off their Pop album, and it begins with D, and I can't remember the name of it. But to get an indication, the second track was M'Bop by Hanson. As a contrast. But yeah, that was the first one I can remember having. In terms of buying, jeez.
I'm just trying to think of some of the songs off the one I had. I totally forgot that, you know, because I've always said when I answer this question, or when people are answering the question, that my first thing was like, the first thing I remember buying was a single by Sash. I don't know if you remember them.
Are they the ones that...
They did Encore Une Fois, but it wasn't even that. That was their big song.
They're a French sort of dance. Dancer. They did Ecuador as well, didn't they?
That was my first ever. But someone did buy me Now 33, and I remember there being something by Will Smith. And there was that, I said, boom, 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 let me hear you say where you're, what was that, the Out Here Brothers or something like that. Anyway, back over to you. What, yeah. Do you have anything that you bought yourself?
I generally can't remember the first one I bought. I think going on from those now cassettes and all that, I did have quite a lot of them. So I think there are people I know that they maybe had one CD bought for them back in the day, and then they graduated from there. It took me a good few years to sort of move on from those cassettes, I guess. I do have a friend who would be the best person to ask this question to, who is really into his heavy metal music.
Okay.
Like your Slipknots and your Parkway Drives and things like that. Mm-hmm. And his first CD was What I Go to School For by Busted.
How cute.
Yeah, I know, right? I think his second CD was Kerrang! Recharge, though, so he moved on that one very quickly.
All right, well, let's get into some live stuff then. So the first, I'm not talking like your local band around the corner. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first big artist that you remember going to see live.
First act I saw live was a band called Sugar Cult.
Okay.
They were on tour with, they're a bit of a Kerrang band actually, so it's one of those, I graduated from Now CDs and all that to Kerrang compilation CDs, and there was a track on there by a band called Sugar Cult. They ended up going on tour with Blink-182. They did a break from their tour for a few days, and they played a date in Oxford for whatever reason. And me and some friends went, and it was wonderful. We met the band and everything. Yeah, it was all very exciting. This was back in 20... I can't remember.
Was that kind of their moment?
2004.
Moment in the limelight, was it? Or did they go on and do other things?
The Oxford Zodiac. The moment of the limelight. Maybe playing Wembley with Blink, probably that tour is more of a moment.
I've not heard of them. So, like, yeah, did they go on and do other things?
They do a song that was in one of the American Pie films and has Ryan Reynolds and the girl who plays Vicky, I can't remember her name, Tara something.
That one is in Sharknado now.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Its career has gone the same way with Sugar Cult. But that was probably their moment in the sun. But later that year, the next year, I went and saw Green Day at the Milton Keynes Bowl, which is a lot of people's first gigs.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I had a week, I think that was the same week I saw Papa Roach at the Astoria in London as well. Okay.
When I was growing up, all my mates were into that kind of music that you're explaining there, that sort of Papa Roach style and Linkin Park, and they loved. Yeah. I kind of went down the hip hop route, and I was the only one of my mates that wasn't really doing those kind of things.
There's rapping in Papa. Entry level rapping, I guess.
There was a bit of a crossover between me and my mates, but they were sort of going to the alternative nights, and where we live down here in Margate, there was no hip hop nights, so
no,
just had to make do with clubs.
Yeah.
Boring. right, so the next question, last question. A track that you are playing obsessively right now, or an artist that you can't stop listening to?
If you'd have asked me this probably about 6 months ago, I'd have said the same thing. There's an artist called Gang of Youths, who are an Australian alt/indie rock band. And I'm still playing them obsessively, probably about 6-7 months after I discovered them.
Yeah.
Partly because I think I quite like the way I discovered them, because I sort of discovered them by accident, but also partly because they don't have many. They've got two full albums out, so it's good. I like when you discover a band and they're still fairly new, because it's easy to really, really get involved. I mean, it's like with box sets, isn't it? We go back and find something. It's got like six seasons. It's so hard to get into. I think I found this band because I was searching for, there's a song by Elliot Smith called Say Yes, and I typed that into Spotify, and there's a song by Gang of Youths called Say Yes to Life, which was the next one down, and it just auto-played, and I really liked it, and I sort of went from there, and I checked out a few more of their tracks, and yeah, I've been obsessing over them because they're one of the most, like, passionate bands, and it's a really simple thing to say, but all of their lyrics and their songwriting, their delivery has a lot of meaning behind it.
Okay.
I think in kind of going into the lead singer's backstory and things like that, and how the song's written and the general processes, it's really interesting, and the music's fantastic. And I think when you bring those two worlds together, it's very easy for me as a songwriter to just completely binge on it. And I went and saw them live earlier this year, and it's generally one of the greatest gigs I've ever been to, and the lead singer went into the crowd.
Amazing. Wonderful. Is that something you've done often, discovering bands that kind of random way?
Yeah, you know, Spotify gets quite a lot of flack, and some of it quite rightly.
Yeah.
But at the same time, with something like a Gang of Youths, I discovered them by complete accident and then went out to one of their shows and have been telling all my friends about it. So I think that's the other side of it. Yeah, a few times.
I found before Spotify, actually, it's my kind of one origin story, if you like.
Yeah.
Because, like I say, I quite liked hip-hop as a kid, and sort of, must have been about 2009, I reckon, I discovered Rizzle Kicks, and they were sort of at the stage, probably at the sort of stage where most musicians that come to Seaside Sessions are. They had one EP, which was free to download on their website.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant. You know, it was kind of a cross between a bit of grime and a bit of hip-hop, and then they got signed up, and I was like, I knew these guys. I knew these guys 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's a good line to have, isn't it?
But then they kind of went poppy, and you know, obviously now they've sort of disbanded altogether and doing their own individual things.
I've got a Reading Festival t-shirt back in the days where I used to buy a festival t-shirt. Back in the days when I used to go to Reading as well. And I think they were headlining the BBC introducing stage, the one that people sort of walk past as a way to get to other stages. But I don't have many. Jason Isbell is another one.
Okay.
I think that was on, he was on, I think it was because I was listening to another band, and I think Spotify does this thing where if the album's ended, it sort of plays a track by an artist that it thinks is similar. And it played a track called Cover Me Up by Jason Isbell, which absolutely blew my mind. So again, I checked him out and now absolutely love him.
Fantastic. All right. Well, let's bring it back to the songs in question for today. So Quicksilver, let's talk about this one.
Yeah. So this one is already out. This is a track that, again, is going to be on the record in October/November/ whenever the record comes out.
When
but
it's
this,
done, yeah.
this track has been out for about a month and a half now. We made a video for this in Luna Lounge in London and parts of me wandering around Stratford in the evening.
Nice.
This is, again, it's a full rock song that I'm going to be playing acoustic that transitions fairly well to acoustic because it's quite sort of a lot of open chords. There's quite a lot of heavy, shouty vocals involved, which I quite like with acoustic music. A lot of passion.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is a song that's about, it's quite a euphoric song. It's about... I use this to describe the new record quite a lot, like escapology. Mm-hmm. It's about the euphoria of being in of knowing that you're in a situation and you can escape from it. So whatever the situation is, even if you're stuck in this, as I was, is stuck in this horrible job that you don't enjoy, kind of working late, there's still this possibility that you can feel a sense of euphoria because you know you can get the hell out of there. It's about escape, and it's about almost escaping into the night and into the city.
Right.
And yeah, I kind of, it's quite a positive song. I think I have a tendency to sometimes get in a mood where I write a lot of quite morose and quite somber songs, but this is probably one of the more positive songs I've written. It's probably one of the simplest songs I've written as well, actually. I got asked a lot of questions as part of a single release program of what are the technical kind of stories behind how you wrote it and what were you thinking and all the general processes. And it's really not very complicated. It's a lot of chords on the same transition and some passioned and euphoric lyrics.
I see. Okay. Do you know, I was just thinking then as you were saying that, obviously, so this being a bit more of a simple song, because obviously so many musicians come through the Seaside Session Studios, and I do know everybody that's come through, and not all songs stick with me, and I discover them again when I'm going back through archives or whatever. But two of your songs have stuck with me.
All right.
And it's because of the stories, I think. And there's the one about, I think you mentioned a line about My Chemical Romance or something along those lines. And,
yes, that's, oh, was that the...
I forgot the name of it. I'm terrible with names.
Is that Wouldn't Have to Sing This Song?
No, but that was it's one of my favourites all time that's been in Seaside Sessions.
Yeah,
I think it's a fantastic song.
Thank
Listeners,
you very much,
go back
man.
And listen. Tim Brooks, I Wouldn't Have to Sing This Song. Because it's just so relatable for artists, I think, that particular story. This is not the My Chemical Romance one. That was kind of a different one. But this, wouldn't have to sing this song. It's just brilliant. Brilliant song.
Thank you
Great
very
lyrics.
Much.
And
Thank
even
you.
I saw a few musicians that I've had in as well that probably you don't know that commented because it was very relatable and it was about, you know,
ragging,
being given the graveyard
on
shift.
On a certain,
and,
a certain promoter in London.
Yeah.
So it's normally the thing that people pick up on with that song, actually, when I play it.
What people know...
Yo, they do. Yeah, they do.
Okay, I'm not privy to that information, but I just thought it was very relatable.
Count yourself lucky.
All right, well, let's bring it back to Quicksilver. So this is the second song today. And on the new album, we should also explain, by the way, that all four of these tracks are going to be the acoustic versions, which we're going to record in a second once we finish this particular recording. So, but if you want the big band stuff, then wait for what, 3 or 4 months, I guess, until the album comes out later this year.
Let's hope.
So here we go. Second track today. This is Quicksilver.
Situation is a dark, dark cave. Yellow feathers down by my side. I make ladders out of serpents just to climb out alive. But tonight, when the streets are a scene of bones inside my bedroom. Well, he ain't got the guts to say, so he'll be hanging out in my closet and watch me on my way, 'cause I won't stay. But tonight, these streets are a scene of a in my chest. I'm bulletproof, but I sure fucking feel it tonight.
Okay, so back in with Tim Brooks.
Right,
so Stay Tonight is the next song we're going to talk about.
Yes, it is.
But just before you get into that, and you've kind of touched on it already about your kind of songwriting process, but
yep.
I'm just quite interested to know, like, how did you start doing it? What sort of age were you when you kind of started doing this sort of thing? And what's your process now? You know, how's it evolved?
My process now, do you know, that's a question I get quite a lot, and it shouldn't be a controversial topic, but it kind of is, and with me, because I'm quite... How do I phrase this? I'm a little bit precious about songwriting in the sense right. that I think it's quite a More because a lot of people think it's a very, very simple thing to do, and I don't. I think that...
People think it's a simple thing to do?
No, I think there's... But I think maybe not so much that, but people think that you can go... Or I know certain people whose songwriting process is to take a blank sheet of paper and a blank mind and allocate themselves an hour and right. think... I'm going to write a song about right, okay. the internet, or I'm going to write a song about politics in this time. And they come out and, I don't know, an hour later they have some lyrics and a simple melody and that's their song. And I just don't think it's as simple as that. I really don't.
That sounds terrible. That sounds a terrible way of doing it. I bet the results aren't particularly good as well.
Yeah, and doesn't it bode well for the challenge we have coming up later?
it does, but, yeah.
Which hopefully will prove me right. I think it's... and I also think it's very... The reason I say it's a controversial thing is because it's very easy to sound extremely pretentious about it until you realise that it's actually the case. So I think the line you'll hear a lot of songwriters say is that, oh, you can't force it. It's a process. Sometimes it yeah. comes to you slowly. Sometimes it comes to you very, very quickly. Sometimes I write a song all at once. Sometimes I'll write a song. Sometimes it'll take years. And you generally think, oh, what a dick, like... It's not the case. And then you try and do it and actually realise that is totally what the case is. I think it's quite organic. I think that you can have a melody and you can come up with a line, and then sometimes you can build off that. So sometimes if I've got some downtime, I can sit down and maybe come up with a verse. And then what you can maybe do is mine other stuff that you've come up with before, and you can get this weird Frankenstein's monster of a song together where you basically piece things and you're playing around on guitar. And I think that it's something where the brilliant thing of songwriting is that if you come up with something and you don't use it, you don't have to discard it. There's so many times where I've had stuff I haven't used previously and then I've just mined it for another song. And come up with something else, you know?
I hear a lot of people say that, you know, they just have a little bit of inspiration and they'll save up a voice on their phone or something and
I 100% subscribe to the idea that you can write a song very, very quickly if the moment is right and your head is in the right place and something has happened, for example. Mm. As we'll find probably with the next two tracks that we're going to talk about.
Okay.
But yeah, I'd agree as well with the fact that sometimes if you just aren't, you can't force it. You can't have a specific, I'm going to write a song about this. I don't have any inspiration. I'm going to sit down with my guitar and then I'm going to write the song and it's going to be done in a few hours. I just think that you can do that technically, but I think it shows pretty evidently when someone has done that. I'm not going to name any names, but I think there's a few songwriters that I know that...
Obviously people's processes are different. And generally speaking, the way you've described it there is what most people say. But, you know, going to the 5-minute song challenge, which obviously you're going to take on later on, I had one band, Strife Darko, and the lead singer of that, George, he didn't even write any lyrics. I've got a book in front of me here, listeners, which has got all the lyrics of all the songs that have been done. He didn't write anything. He just freestyled.
Just
it was about 5.5 minutes long.
Yeah.
And it's because that's kind of how his brain works. And I suppose if he were to record it, he might listen back to it and obviously tweak it and make it better or scrap it all together.
Yeah.
But he has that within him to be able to just almost... He does rock songs, by the way. He's not a rapper or anything like that.
I think if I did that, it would sound like the most awkward thing in the world. So,
right, exactly. Yeah. I've always, you know, growing up, some of my mates were able to do that sort of thing, and I've just never been able to do it. That's why when you say people think that songwriting's easy, I think definitely not. I think it's extremely hard thing to do.
The other thing I'd add is it's very easy to... Something I found myself doing before, and I really try not to do it now, is it's... sometimes quite easy to put references in that nobody is going to understand apart from you. There's one of my songs that I don't really play anymore called Molotov, which is an all right song. In fact, it's got the same chord structure as Quicksilver, actually, which is probably where I got the chord structure from Quicksilver from. There's a line in that song which goes something along the lines of, upon the wings of Bahamut. Now, Bahamut is, I'm pretty sure it's like some sort of mythical creature, but I knew it as one of the monsters from one of the Final Fantasy games.
Okay.
And I think just looking back on that, like, nobody's going to understand that.
Well, Strife Darko might, just... because I don't play games, but I think Strife is a character from Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
That's what the band's named after. Some people might get it.
But it's stuff like that. I just sometimes I look back, I think, good God, what? And yeah.
Fair enough. So all right. Well, let's move on to the next track for tonight. So, or today, rather. Yeah. Stay Tonight.
Stay Tonight. So this is a... I should probably say that the next two tracks are going to hopefully be on a little mini acoustic thing that I've got coming out in the next couple of months. That is something that is generally going to come in the next couple of months and not towards the end of the year. I'm really keen to... because I put out a live acoustic album towards the end of last year and it went down quite well. It gave me some good stuff to perform acoustically, and I'm quite keen to do that again on a slightly smaller scale and maybe push it to areas of the internet where I haven't really pushed my music. So SoundCloud is a particular one, and I'm quite keen on maybe pushing for music publishing and things like that.
Yeah.
So I quite like the idea of writing a few more picky, more melancholy acoustic tracks and seeing where they go. So it's going to be the next two tracks. And this first one is one that I wrote probably a few months ago. This is one where I had the ending refrain for absolutely ages and no song to attach to it.
Okay.
And I guess this song is about... It's about a situation that I found a couple of my friends in that echoed a situation that I'd been in maybe a few years previously. So a couple of my friends that were in relationships, both of which are still in said relationships as well, actually, I should add. So it does have a happy ending in real life, that were going through issues where there was a lot of kind of back and forth arguments. It's a situation where you know both sides and you're sort of... your head's like the tennis ball and you're kind of...
Yeah.
I obviously got both sides. And so in the song, I write the song from both sides. And like I said, this is something that kind of happened with me about 3-4 years ago. Not quite the same, not exactly the same circumstances, but I felt that that situation sort of being around it sort of made me think about what I had. And then I kind of, with all those things together, I was able to put a song together fairly quickly and then find the song to attach to this ending refrain.
Got you. Okay, very nice. All right, well, let's give that a listen then. So this is the third track from today's podcast. This is Stay Tonight.
I should confess that this is tenuous at best. All the things I said are sugar-coated, and they deflect away from anything sincere. So let me make it clear that this all happens for a reason, and there's a reason I'm still here. And I could spill my guts if that's exactly what you want. I could try my best to remember the person that I was. These words are made of string, and it's a fragile thing. And I'm not one to beg redemption, but I can make exceptions. And all the things I said on the week that we first met, I do my best to remember, but to be honest, I forget. So let's take it seriously and act with maturity. You can pin it all on me, and if that's the way it's gotta be, even take your best fucking shot, and I'll show you what I've got. She said, darling, it's not in my nature to be faced by all this failure. To show my hand before I've placed my final wager. This whole damn situation spins like a record player rotations. I could use a revolution or some kind of intervention. I'm not normally one to quit, and I'm too proud to admit that I wasted precious time. These last few years have gone to shit. And somewhere there's a key, an antidote to apathy, but we buried it underneath all our anxiety. And I was honest and I told, when I lost my self-control, these past few weeks I've spent just digging up my soul. And I wish I could feel something tangible and real. The straws are on my back and I'm so tired of making deals. This whole relation turned into negotiation. And darling, therein lies a problem. So give me some hope, give me some fight, give me a reason to stay tonight. Just give me some hope, give me some fight, give me a reason to stay. Just give me some hope, just give me some fight, give me a reason to stay tonight. Just give me some hope, give me some fight, give me a reason to stay tonight.
All right then, so back in with the final song today before the 5 minute challenge, that is, of course. Mm-hmm. I forgot to ask when I was talking about the songwriting stuff. Do you remember the first song you wrote? The first song you ever wrote?
The first song, it depends if you think first song or first song that I fully completed with a full set of lyrics and a full set of chords. I think in terms of having a full structured song, it would probably be something that I wrote at university.
Okay.
Which was a song called Hollywood Ending, I think. Okay. And I can probably just about remember most of the lyrics. And it was about my housemate and my housemate's boyfriend, who I was very good friends with, both of them. And they broke up and they got back together. And it was like Hollywood Ending, which is all very sweet.
That is quite nice.
And then they broke up like 6 months later. So, hence I had, no song. But
I had a podcast a couple of weeks ago of a lad called Jack, and he said his first song was when he was 11 years old, and it was about relationships. And he started to try and recount it, and he just got morbid embarrassment.
Yeah, I don't... I don't think there's anything too... Yeah, because what would I have been at uni? It would have been like 19, 20, 21. So it's nothing really horrendous.
When did you first sort of get into being a musician? When did you think this is the path for you?
I think I'd always... The thing is, because I'd learned to play guitar. I can play guitar and I can play piano. And I was sort of slowly teaching myself how to sing. I always thought I could kind of sing. In terms of actually getting up in front of an audience and playing, that was... 2015, so it's pretty recent in terms of I haven't had this sort of long kind of since age 11 playing in front of it. It took me a long time to start, not necessarily to muster the courage, but to get to think, do you know what, this is gonna hopefully be a thing.
And so learning piano and guitar as a kid, that was more just sort of extra.
Well, I think I
do.
Yeah, do you know, I well, my family's quite musical anyway, but I think piano, they did a piano workshop at my school, and I thought it would be. Thought it'd be quite cool, so I learned that. And I think with guitar, it's quite an easy instrument to learn, if I'm being really brutally honest. I always have a mad respect and a lot of jealousy for people who can play piano and violin and classical instruments really, really well, because guitar is, I got grade 8 at guitar. Okay. But I had to play 5 pieces. And that was it.
Right.
I didn't have to do any sight reading, any singing, anything like that. I just turned up. There was a guy in a Metallica t-shirt who sort of just pressed the backing track and watched me for a bit and handed me a grade 8 certificate. So,
amazing.
I think that was more of the music I listened to as well. I listened to rock music growing up, and I heard the solos from Master of Puppets and things like that. And I think that I'm even going back to, like, you know the opening riff to Pretty Fly for a White Guy by The Offspring?
Yeah, yeah.
And like, dude, I just thought, that sounds so cool. I want to play that. And it was almost a little bit disappointing when I realized it's really easy. I thought the guy was doing all these weird shapes of his hand, and no, it's not complicated.
This is the big secret, isn't it? That non-music
Billy Joe Armstrong's not actually a very good guitarist.
Yeah, like everything by Oasis is just the easiest.
Easiest
things to ever do.
Yeah.
So we haven't really touched upon your voice at all.
Yeah.
It's quite a unique kind of sound that you've got there. So as we just sort of touched on developing that there, how did that kind of,
Yeah.
How did you start singing? And how did you? Because it's very deep. And I think I mentioned to you in your session that you must be hurting your throat. But obviously, you've trained yourself.
Well, as we were mentioning off air, how I despise my speaking voice as well. Yeah. My singing voice has developed on the basis of when I first started out, back in 2015, I think I had an idea of what I wanted my voice to sound like, but okay. I didn't have the trained voice to be able to achieve that. And the net result of that is I lost my voice a couple of times. Right. And it kind of morphed back a little bit into something that was a bit more raspy. And I was able to develop a technique where maybe I couldn't kind of hit the higher notes, but I could hit stronger, kind of lower, deeper notes.
Okay.
And you know what? That sort of formulated itself in the way I write songs as well. I kind of know that I can't really write a really high-pitched emo yeah. rock number just because it's going to sound horrendous coming out of my voice. So, yeah, it's... I think I've got it to a stage where I can play on a fairly consistent basis and not absolutely rag my voice out, which I would say constitutes being sufficiently trained, I guess, in my yeah. vocal technique to be able to maintain it. I still wish I could hit higher notes. I had some singing lessons last year, and that's the very first thing I said to a singing teacher was, can you make me hit really, really, really high notes? But yeah, it's good. I get fairly nice comments about it. The one that just makes me sort of warm and happy inside every time I hear it. I say every time I hear it, I haven't heard it that much, but I've heard it a few times, is Kelly Jones from Stereophonics. I get that a Cam Parison a few times. It's especially easy if you do a Stereophonics cover, because you're sort of hinting at people to maybe come up to you afterwards and say, oh, you sound like him. But yeah, he's a vocal hero because he's got a similar sort of raspy style of voice. And like I said, the music that I listened to, the kind of rock music growing up, it was all quite harsh and raspy. Yeah, I think that's what I've tried to model my voice around, I guess.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so let's get into the final track before we go to the five-minute challenge. So this is Anxious Heart.
Yes, this one. This is going to be another one that's on the acoustic EP. It's probably going to be the title of the acoustic EP, actually. I found this drawing back in my room of this, I must have, years and years and years ago, this sort of weird, like, pen-drawn emo heart thing. And I think it looks quite good as a cover. Okay. But, yeah, this is a song that's definitely what I'd call a heart song, in the sense that there was a certain situation that came about, and... at the point of said situation, I wrote the song pretty quickly. So it's quite a reactive song, I would say. And I guess the song is... it's about having an impression of somebody that you think is maybe the most extroverted and outgoing person, and then actually being maybe blinded by that and maybe being incorrect and... finding out with said situation that actually that person is or possesses a slightly more anxious heart than you'd first anticipated. And you can tell I'm skirting around this a little bit,
just a little bit.
Do you know what? I have this conversation with someone before about songwriting, and about how if you know, I say the first rule of songwriting is don't never mention someone's name directly.
Right, okay.
The reason they say that, and kind of the reason why I might be skirting around it a bit, because if you write a song that's a bit more specific to yourself and a bit more specific about certain people, then it's a bit of a dick move in the long run, because you're essentially giving your viewpoint on things that is entirely your perspective.
Yeah, right, of course.
We're not giving any sort of right of reply, unless you want to go down the... what was that, 90s song?
It's I was just trying to think that I couldn't
remember. Don't want you back, that one.
Fuck you right back.
Exactly. Right. Well, unless you go down that sort of situation. Because what I say, what you say in the song could be patently bullshit.
Yeah.
And yet... and I don't think this is an especially mean song, but at the same time, it's very much my perspective on things.
There was a, talking about Kelly Jones, he did a solo project, I don't know if you're aware, probably, I think it's probably about going back about 15 years now, and it was called Only the Names Have Changed.
Yeah.
And it was every song was titled after a woman, presumably a woman that was in his life, and the stories were, you know, from his perspective of the women that, he'd known and loved for however long in his life, which is quite nice. I think Only the Names Have Changed, I think it's quite a nice title for an album, and you know, kind of allows you to put a story out there without being a dick.
Yeah, it is very easy with the position of songwriting power to be a dick in that situation.
All right, well, let's give this one a listen then. So this is the final track today before we get into our 5-minute challenge. And as usual, listeners, we're going to come straight back in with Tim and the challenge. Looking forward to it?
Given all I've said before, I don't know. We'll see.
Should be interesting. Okay, so this is Anxious Heart.
Got this anxious heart, but you keep it locked inside a trinket box, and you're dancing in the dark. And you got brittle bones, I got sticks and stones, but I won't break them, cause they're never quite on show. But if you caught a glimpse of your reflection, you would think that there was a correlation with your the presentation and the person staring back at me. You got this anxious heart, and those days gone past have left it broken, but I really must implore. We got this common ground, and I'm speaking out, but we're both scared, but this time I'm really sure. And you have mastered the art of deception, cause on first glance you wouldn't get the impression that you're held back by hesitation. Maybe that's just my perception, I don't know, I don't know. Cause I've got skeletons and they still haunt me. I got wires upon my wrists and a graze upon my knee. So let's fall and fall so hard. Give me pieces, give me scars, made of porcelain and glass. Let's start over, or stitch it back together with vinegar and brown paper. Have a second shot at summer. I can take it, I can take it. Let me hold it, I won't break it. Let me hold it, I won't break it. I won't break it. You got this anxious heart and this overactive mind, it kind of buzzes like a firefly in the dark. So let's take our time and I can find a resolution, or I can hold back, I don't mind. I'll wait, leave space to breathe between us. I won't drag this out, and I won't make you see. But if your mind is spinning and your presto pulse persists, and I can start, then I can start, then I can start to calm your anxious heart.
All right then, ladies and gents, so here we are back in the 5-minute song challenge. I notice you've even got a title, is that right? You've got a title for this one?
This might be
the first title of a song in 5 minutes. Unbelievable. All right, over to you.
All right, all right.
roses blush the boldest blue. When the rivers run red in your eyes and you don't know what to do. When the rain washes in and the water soaks through. It's over.
There we go. You can hear me now. A terrible mic placement from me. Every time you put your head up, it got super loud. But
oh, yeah?
I can hopefully adjust the levels and it'll be all good for the listeners.
Yeah.
That was amazing. So that was called Don't Let Yourself Drown.
Don't Let Yourself Drown.
Even got a title for it. Amazing. Tim, thank you so much for coming in today. You're really welcome. Appreciate your time. So listeners, look out for Tim's album coming out in a couple of months' time. We hold you to that. What are we saying? September?
Acoustic one will be out in the next couple of months.
Nice
hopefully.
One. All right, that'll be up first.
Process. Much, much simpler.
And as it says in one of your songs, Tim Brooks Music without the E.
Yes.
if you want to search for Tim on Facebook or anything like that. And also, obviously, your previous session that you did with us. All the videos are up right now.
Yep.
That's it, listeners. Thank you very much for joining us today. Don't forget to go and leave all them ratings on the iTunes store and all that kind of good stuff. And we'll catch you next week.
There's a castle on the hill. But it's glass on the inside. So when you sit and watch the sunset, oh, there ain't no place to hide. And I guess we're all as guilty as the lies that we all tell.